Just want to testify and share the name of Jesus. And there's so many times that will bring shame and reproach to your face because others will not always like you for it. And others may someday hunt you down because of it. James reminds us here, James is a powerful book. And his whole letter, which, by the way, it came under a lot of critique and struggle to make it into the canon, but we know who the one is that was always in charge of putting together his Bible. And who is that? The Lord. And so here it is, and certainly the Word of God. And in our text today in James chapter 4, there's so much happening here. This book written about 49 or 50 A.D. and just challenges believers to have an active faith. Keyword active. An active faith, sharing your faith, proving God. What do you mean proving God? God says, test me, prove me. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust Him for even the smallest task or the greatest task, one that totally thrusts you out of your comfort zone, and your knees are knocking and weak and what have you, and your heart's pounding, and God, I want to serve you in this, and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do. You do not serve the Lord in your own strength. You do not accomplish things for Christ in your own strength. It's when there's the strength of Christ in and through us as we obediently follow Him. And that is what makes our love and life and service to Him pure. Pure. The kingdom of heaven in your heart. So when you are active, active with your faith, not just quietly resting in your faith, when you are active in your faith, the being and the doing of the will of God in your life, you build it. He builds you. You exercise it. And you know that bodily exercise, you know, it is good for you. Well, spiritual exercise is awesome and fantastic for you. And so that we serve the Lord and being active. If you're not active and bold, if you're not even reckless with your faith in Christ, it will begin to deflate and fear will overcome and you just begin to mouse, but being active in the Lord. And so knowing this, knowing what? Being active in our faith. Knowing this and not doing it is what? Sin. It's sin. And we hurt as the result of it. So, as we begin here, knowing this, within the framework of God's will for your life, I asked a question, and the sermon title as well, and it comes right from our scripture. What is your life? What is your life? Actually, I was spurred on to this little passage with the thoughts of our dear departed Bonnie in my mind and heart. In that, for all of us to know, as she in her strong faith for the Lord, and all of a sudden, you know, she's gone. That a strong faith, she had an active faith. She blessed the Lord and she blessed us here. What is your life? That's the question that James asks. So in this whole chapter, you know, the Christians in this day, for the most part, were poor. And the rich leaders in the synagogue, the Jewish leaders, They would make it rough for them. They would hassle them. They would belittle them. And truly, it was an awful thing. And the Lord, he addresses that through James in the very next chapter, and he gives a very scathing word to the religious leaders and peoples. He said, I'll have my day with you. So he scathes them, and he's encouraging the Christian, because God will bring into judgment, as he told the leaders, and he says to every and any and every non-believer, I'll bring your pride for ways into judgment, and you will stand before me. So we praise God for his word. We praise God for the cross, his grace. We begin life as a child of God, as a Christian, in his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. It is thereby, it is our meat, it is our milk and our meat. And we grow in the Lord, and then we serve the Lord. So being active in your faith is a very beautiful thing. It's a must for your life, Christian, being active. And so, and Nick James, he goes on to just encourage us as believers, cultivate patience. The Lord's coming back. Be patient until the day of the Lord. That in the meantime, be active. Be active for the Lord. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, he says, come now. You know, you read the whole chapter, and he's talking and teaching and preaching and guiding against worldliness, and submitting to one another out of the fear of God, submitting to the Lord, resisting the old devil. Don't be talking back at each other and speaking evil at each other and be judging each other. And then all of a sudden he says, come now. And it's like a wake up. Come now, get your attention, he says. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, spend a year there, trade, make a little profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live, we will do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. First of all, this morning, your life is knowing. Your life is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing in that this life is temporary. This life is transit. That's why he uses these little terms here, mist and fog, a smoke, a vapor. Your life, James says, is temporary. We're only here for a little while. And knowing this, that this is temporary, in the afterlife is eternal. And so knowing this is to make all the difference in your life. No matter what we go through here, no matter what you must endure, no matter what your losses are, knowing this life is transit, it is temporary. And I am here right now in this life that I may know Christ, that I may make him known. And these things we have been studying for weeks upon weeks and upon weeks. It's been the same theme, whether or not you have realized that, from different passages in Hebrews and Philippians. You know, knowing Christ, gaining Christ, profiting Christ. I may not even be here next Sunday. I don't know. Somewhere this next week, you might be attending my funeral. I don't know. Take care of my wife. We do not know. Life is so quick. come now. Come now. It is a powerful grabbing. Life isn't about your plans, James says. He says here, come now. And there's no promise from 1 minute to the next. And for the most part, I think most of us, a lot of us, have had near misses concerning, if it weren't for the hand of the Lord, I don't think I'd have come out of this. I don't think that vehicle would have missed me, and I should not have been able to stay where I was without falling down on my head, and just whatever. Your life is in the hand of the Lord. And as you serve Him, we read often and we hear about Christians who die serving Christ here in the soil, here in America, or across the pond, wherever it may be. But your life, my dear friend, is an untouchable until it's time. Serve the Lord with gladness. Wherever you go, wherever He sends you. And our soldiers serving the Lord, serving us out on the battlefields. Our police officers serving in firefights. Our EMTs, all our first responders. And to all who serve, you serve society through your work, through your talents. And you go here, you go there. And you engage in whatever it may be. And therein is your mission field. And you serve Him. And you're an untouchable. Until it's your moment to come home. For there is, to each and every person, there is appointed a day. Appointed a day by the Lord. So when we die and go to be with Him, so James teaches us so much. And in conversation with a young lady earlier this week, that this is her favorite book. And it is a powerful, powerful book. And so build on eternity. Trust the Lord and rest in Him. Set your priorities right now. Here's what he says in Isaiah 47. To the carnal and to the worldly, he says, now therefore hear this, you lover of pleasures, who sit securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. This is a very common attitude among prideful hearts. There's no one besides me. It's not my fault, even though it squarely is. It's all about me, pressing on with me. Because he says this in Isaiah 28, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol. Why? For we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehoods we've taken shelter, and thereby live a life apart from God for self, and thereby facing, knowing, a life that is wasted when this transient time is past and you go out into eternity and you face God at the judgment. So he says here, what nature is your life? Because he said it's just like a fog. It's like a mist. And the seas in Jesus' day, and as James knows it, and as a fisherman, and he knows his time and how the fog would be above the water and the fog. And one of the things I think is really kind of hard for me to figure out, and there's a lot of things that's hard for me to figure out, but how can it be foggy and the breeze is blowing? Did you ever think of that? That happened several times this week. You walk out, and I've always marveled at this. How can it be foggy and you don't see the fog moving with the breeze? It just stays there. You figure that out, you let me know. And I probably won't believe you. You're just gone, but then when the sun comes, whatever, and just dries it up. So what happens here, and it is knowing. So folks are disillusioned by self-confidence. In Matthew 7:26, and everyone who hears these words, just like we're studying here in James, Jesus said, these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When you build your life on your own words and your own schemes and your own plans, in this transient life that goes so fast, you're building on sand and the storms are going to hit. Galatians 6:3 is powerful. For if anyone thinks he is something, when really he is nothing, he deceives himself. And then the word says so. Folks are delusioned only by self-confidence, but that there's time. One of the most, if not the most used tool of Satan against any individual, whether coming to Christ or for a Christian to continue on to mature in Christ, there's time for that later. There's time for that later. And do you remember when Paul was before Felix, the procurator, and he was sharing Christ with him? And the procurator is a representative, basically, of the next higher form of governance in there in Rome. And obviously, you know, as Paul was sharing the gospel with him and talking about Jesus and talking about, you know, the frailty of life and eternal life and what have you, he got visibly upset. He couldn't handle it. But here's what he said. He said, go away, Paul. I'll call for you at a more convenient time. Do you think that convenient time ever came for him? I doubt it. When the Lord calls your heart, answer. He may not pass your way again. And the Lord calls you into service, answer. Serve him gladly. Serve him with all your heart. In 2 Corinthians 6, he says, this is what the Lord has done in your heart. He said, in a favorable time, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time, and now is the day of salvation. For it is all of the Lord. He awakens us to our need of a Savior. He draws us to himself, and by his grace, he redeems us. And we find here that in 1 John said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And we come right back here to James, and James says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And if you don't do them, it is sin. It is the sin of omission in your life. You're not actively serving the Lord, and you're not engaging in active immorality or whatever it may be, but you are negligent in serving Christ, and so therefore this omission unto the Lord, it is sin. Why? He bought you and I on Calvary. That's why he gave us this very life. He owns you. And that is a very happy thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. It's a life that in Christ is going to follow you long into eternity. So as a born-again believer, you have eternal life. And Jesus says in John, you know, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, to know thee. You know, everything in life, no matter what it is, has fences somewhere that really can go no farther. Whatever the studies may be. But not so with Christ. There's no limit. There's no fence. There's no end of the road. There's no final class on the subject. There's no end. That I may know thee, Paul says in Philippians 3. And the power of your resurrection. So, knowing Christ. Now we must move on to the next point because time is fleeting. But the Father sends the Holy Spirit to bear witness to these things. The Helper, the Lord Jesus, sends the Holy Spirit into your heart. So you know this. You study the Scriptures. You know these things. His Spirit bears witness with yours, yours with his, that these things are true. And we know that the Spirit of truth proceeds from above. James says, then, what is your life? What do you think about your life? How do you live your life? What do you deem as your priorities in your life? And when your life comes to the close, are you going to be glad for your decisions as you stand before Christ? What is your life? And we find that not only is your life knowing, but it's being and becoming. Your life is being and becoming. You're growing greater in Christ today than what you were yesterday. If you're not growing greater in Christ continually, you're stagnating. And peril and danger awaits you on your path. There's no standing still with God. Either you are progressing forward, or you're going to go backwards. There's no stopping right here. And so your life, that's what Paul talks about to the church of Corinth. You're being transformed from glory to glory. You're growing in the Lord. And Paul, you're seeking those things. You're seeking Christ because he is the ultimate in life. And in Hebrews, as we studied, you're just gathering truth. You're growing in truth. And as you serve the Lord, and these are things that are just unshakable in your life, and you're growing stronger and stronger in the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ, who is the fullness of the Father. You see how this is, and you learn of the Lord, and you grow with a greater heart for the Lord, and more boldness for Christ, and you're active with this. If you don't take what you get up here and let it come down into here, you're not going to flesh it out. And when you have it a bigger head than your heart, there's trouble. Your heart must always be larger, Christian, than your head. But Christians get these big heads because stuff full of knowledge. But there's not down here in our heart, because James says whatever's in the heart will flesh out. You'll birth it out. You'll give place to it in your life. So if all you do is gather it up here, and you got to increase your hat size, and your head gets bigger, and that's why you get baldness. Yeah, anyway. But if it doesn't come down into the heart, for out of the life, out of the heart, come the very issues of life. It's how you live. It's how you live. Because in here's where love dwells. The love of God. And so what you learn about the Lord, it's here. And you want to obey the Master, and you do. Your faith is tested. And James talks about this in the first chapter. The trial of your faith, the testings of your faith, and you know, just press you and crunch you to the core. And so in these things, and you are active with your faith, and whatever the platform might be, and whatever the atmosphere is, you're active with your faith. No matter if it's gain or loss or you're called to do, whatever, you're active with your faith in the trial and the testings, and the flesh is screaming at you and wants to be satisfied and gratified and pleasured, and you fight through this. You're active with your faith. You're active with your faith. And as you share the gospel with someone, you're just comforting someone. When your heart is broken for someone else who was broken, this is where it is. You're active with your faith. You're pressing on to greater purity in Christ. And so not only is it knowing, being, and becoming, but your life is a going. It is going. You go out for the Lord. You know, we go to perform the appointed task, as he told us in Matthew 28. Go into this dark world. Preach, teach, share the gospel. And then he goes on to say, as we studied a little bit last week, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Okay, do you know what comes under that? Everything that I've commanded you, because you are Christ. You're now his ambassador. You now belong to him. You've entered into his death. You're raised in his resurrection. My life is no longer mine, Paul says, but it is Christ in me. Is that your life? Is that how you live? Is that how you be? It is Christ in me. Christ came to do the Father's will. What's the Father's will? To seek and to save that which was lost. And so now for that your life is hidden with Christ in God, in Colossians 3, this is your life. It's the love and the joy of your heart. You wake it in the morning. God, thank you for another day. If you wanted me home in heaven, you'd have taken me while I sleep. But I have another day. At least I have this moment. And when I come, Lord willing, to the end of the day, will I have gained? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'll face. But you do. You've already been there. And your grace in my life. I want to profit you and gain you. Your life is going. You know, we may mount up with wings as eagles, and we can actually run and not be weary because our strength is in the Lord. We all do get weary. But not a weariness to quit. And as Paul writes, you know, do not be weary in your labors because I'm coming back. Keep me first and foremost in your heart. Keep pressing on. Because we're only going to be here for a little while. Just a little while. And eternity for the Christian is wow! Right? Say that. Wow! Wow. Wake up a little more. Say it again. Wow. Yeah, you're getting better. Raise a decibel. No, come on. They get these 100.5 whatever decibels at football stadiums. How are we doing in here today? Okay. Serving the Lord. Your life is going. So that's what Paul says in Philippians 3. He gave us the great idea in this. I press on. But you know, we come way back to the prophecy of Christ, the birth of Christ. And he says there in that first chapter of Luke that he will guide our feet in the pathway of peace. So we follow that straight and narrow. And for the Christian, it's going to get narrower and narrower. Many times it's going to get lonelier and lonelier because this world is not your home. And that pathway of peace leading us straight to the very glories in the face of Christ in heaven. Going. It's fulfillment. Your life is fulfillment. And Ephesians 3 talks about being filled with all the fullness of God. You wanna transpose that sentence into Greek. Here's what it says. Filled unto all the fullness of God. That's Christ is in you, right? His Spirit is in you. Being filled with the fullness of Christ is being filled with the fullness of God. This is God's plan. This is God's purpose for your life. Because what happens is we are full of Christ and His Spirit is ours and in control. We love Him, we serve Him, and we're just absolutely happy with the Lord no matter what's happening. Because His joy is in our hearts. Serving Christ, so it is the Lord. So, my dear loved ones, thinking on these things, what is your life? What is your life? Kids, what's your life? Where are we at? Paul exclaimed, I mean, this was the dynamic of the New Testament church in this day. It's Christ and Christ alone. And Paul writes here, I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. That's all that matters in my life. And that is the same for all of us. Your life, a ministry unto Christ. I will testify until the day the Lord. And this is what Paul did. Because then we come to 2 Timothy 4, 6-8, and he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the fight, the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. Henceforth there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. Can you imagine? Even Paul, everybody, is going to stand before the judge. Who's the judge? Jesus. Everybody's going to stand before the Lord one day. Does that grab you? I pray it does. And he says, he will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I leave you with this. There's an old quote. I really don't know where it came from. But I remember hearing this as a boy, the Jubilators Quartet, Gene Street. He was passionate. And those of you who remember the Jubilators Quartet, and I know they were here. I mean, Gene Street, he was passionate as he wrapped up the evening with the gospel. He was crazy funny sitting at the table eating. They would have, mom and dad would have him there to the house. And he said about the ship holds her course and makes for the desired port. Whether they on board sit, lie, walk, or sleep. Perhaps you've been on a boat of certain size and you stood at the very front end and you've looked down and you've watched it split the water, right? Anybody seen that? Have you seen it? You just watch it split the water. And it, you know, just kind of but it splits the water. She stays on course. It never stops. The ship of your life never stops. God's ship. While you've been sitting in here, the ship hasn't slowed down. It doesn't dock for an hour and 15 minutes while we have church. When you go home, when you leave, when you sleep, every day, for 63 years, it's going. Whether I've been obedient to the Lord or not, it's going. It never stops. And one day, the old ship will dock in glory. And only those who are on the ship of Christ will enjoy heaven. But the old ship, it never stops. Time doesn't stop. God's plan doesn't stop. His desire for your heart and your will doesn't stop. Time is always bearing us onward to the land where time will be no more, whether that is in heaven or in hell. And therefore, to follow Christ, to trust Him as your Savior, and give Him your all, it is imperative, it is needful, it is a must for your life. Because this life is transitory, James teaches us. And it's all about eternity. Oh, what will you be doing in eternity? How will you be serving the Lord there? How will He address you at the judgment of Christ? Well done. What will He have to say? When the books are opened on your life, Christian, oh, what is written on those pages? Serving the Lord, the future time. We call it time because that's the future of heaven. It calls us to earnestness of the day. And none of us know how much time we have. So we serve the Lord with gladness, holding all of our possessions, including our life, with an open hand. And whatever the Lord takes away, He takes away. Whatever He leaves, He leaves. Whenever He requires, He requires. And when that day comes when He requires your life to come home, and everyone will stand before the Lord. What is your life? The future calls us to earnestness. This life is short. And when the day comes, when the Lord calls you, until the day. Then what? Then what? Think on these things. Dear Father, oh dear God, your word is sharp. Your word is holy. It cuts into our hearts and lays open our hearts. Your word is so instructive. Your word is so healing. That we may lead a good and profitable, holy life. For Lord Jesus, you tell us, as Peter writes, be holy, for I am holy. And lead your life as such in the Lord. Oh, dear God, get it into our brains and deepen into our heart. As we give our lives unto thee, and how greatly and how beautifully we will rejoice and be so glad. So glad for all your grace and our obedience unto thee. Keep your hand upon us. There's been a lot of things flying around in hearts and minds this morning, Father. And you are the one who is the keeper of all these. Holy Spirit, minister to each heart and establish the kingdom will of God in each heart. And knowing that, as Paul said, no matter what the day is or where, whatever the means is, I am of the Lord. I know where I'm going, and I will be raised in that last great day, the resurrection, and receive a glorified body forever. Perhaps sometime today, we as the believers, Christians, the blood-washed, redeemed, you will shout for your people. The voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ first, the rest of us, here we go. And we take our rest. The Lord, in that great day when we stand before thee, may each one of us live and labor in the beauties and the power of the resurrected Lord, that that'll be a very happy day for you, Lord Jesus, as well as for each one of us. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us stand as we sing about